I was taught in seminary that when something in Scripture is repeated, a word, a phrase, a story, that you should pay special attention to it. In today's reading, we heard the question, "What should we do?" three times. It's asked of John the Baptist as he's preaching and baptizing and doing all of his John the Baptist things. First, it's the crowds who ask, an incredibly unspecific group of people who have gathered around to listen to him. John answers their question by telling them to share food and coats with people who have none. Then it's the tax collectors, a surprising group we wouldn't expect to be interested in what John is saying, but who seem to be seeking some more specificity to their answer. John tells them to be fair, honest, stop taking more from people or pocketing any money for themselves. Finally, it's the soldiers, another group who were shocked to be there listening to this prophet and who need some guided direction. John tells them to be content, humble. Don't use your power to take advantage of anyone. Now, there's a part of me that loves this question, what should we do? I am a person who loves clarity around what to do. I like knowing if I've done something right, or if I've completed the task, or if I can check it off my list. I would definitely be one of these people asking John, what should I do? Tell me, and I'll do it. I really will. But the longer that I've been in a pastoral position, the more I don't like this question. The more I wrestle with it, the more I resist it. Because should is a dangerous word. Should can be used against people. A question like, what should we do, could be manipulated by any preacher, John the Baptist, me, Pastor Calland, to make people think they need to do something to earn God's love or favor. A question like this is used by preachers to manipulate people, to get them to give money to projects, to speak as if they're the voice of God, to make people think there's an invisible ladder to climb to get to heaven. Because of this, I've taken should out of my pastor vocabulary. I try not to use it. I find it too dangerous and potentially harmful to people just like me, people who will do what I think they should do. So I leave it out. All of this made today's sermon particularly hard to write, because the repeated phrase that I should pay attention to is a question I don't like. John felt comfortable answering it, but I don't. So I had to step back and look at what was leading these people to ask this question over and over again. I had to see what they were hearing in the rest of John's sermon, which honestly doesn't sound like a sermon I would choose to listen to. John preaches in a very intense, harsh, you brood of vipers kind of way. But amidst all the prophetic language in this passage, all the references to fire, there's a promise. John preaches about a baptism of repentance. He proclaims the forgiveness of sins. He gathers people who came from every corner of the area and baptizes them. That's where this question begins. And that's an important detail, because these people aren't asking this question in order for them to be good enough to be baptized. They're not asking it in order to be good enough to be welcomed into God's family. They're not asking it in order to be good enough to be forgiven for all of their sins. They're not asking this question before these things happen. They're asking this question in response to these things, in response to John's sermon, in response to the love John is preaching about, in response to the open arms of God that have welcomed them into God's family. No matter if they're a descendant of Abraham or a tax collector who no one likes or a soldier who's done bad things, all of these people are welcomed into the arms of the loving God that John preaches about. And it's only when they come up from the waters of baptism after being dunked, completely dunked, in the promise of God's love for them that they can't help but ask, what now? What should we do now? John, tell us what to do, because this is only the beginning. The goodness can't stop here. And this is when I realized that the what should we do in today's reading, it's not about checking things off a Christian to-do list or being good enough for God. It's about living into the fundamental change that happens when we receive God's love and forgiveness. In this sermon, in this passage we read today, we literally watch repentance. Repentance is a turning, a changing. We literally watch repentance happen before our eyes. We watch people be changed by the love of God. We watch people turn outward toward their neighbor for the first time. We watch God's unconditional love transform people so much that they begin thinking about their entire lives differently. We watch the power of forgiveness to free people, all people, even the worst people. And we watch how when people hear that they're welcomed and good enough and loved no matter what, that it not only changes their lives, but it also changes the lives of those who have no food or coat, those who have been cheated, those who have been falsely accused. It changes the lives of our neighbor. This is the baptism John preaches about. This is a life with God that ultimately changes the way we live, the way we do our jobs, the way we go about our lives. This is a life of faith that isn't about checking good deeds or should-dos off our spiritual to-do list. It's not about climbing a ladder to heaven or being better. This is about being so grounded and centered in God's love for us that we can't help but live differently. We can't help but leave the doors of this sanctuary and figure out how to share that love with others. That's John's sermon today. That's his good news that he proclaims. So, people of God, may you know that your sins are forgiven and that nothing you have ever done or will ever do will separate you from the love of God. May you know that you are claimed as a child of God in your baptism, that you are loved unconditionally no matter what, and that you will never live this life alone. May you know that a life with God will ultimately change you, leading you to ask, what now? Leading you to a neighbor near who is in need of God's love. That's the baptism of repentance John preaches about. Not just going through the motions of faith, not just counting on our ancestors or church attendance to make sure we're good, not just talking the talk, but being transformed by God's abundant love and forgiveness of us, that we can't help but share that love with others. So, what should you do? Look around. I trust that God will answer that for me. Amen.